Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances. One, two,
three, four. Now, put your tiny transistor radios away. Sit up straight in your Jason recliner. You've never heard the footy like this. I'm saved. Hallelujah. This is Triple M NRL.
Yeah, heading towards the Warriors and the Broncos this afternoon as a look at that Tyre Power scoreboard. Welcome aboard, everybody, by the way. The Storm over the Knights, 40-14. The Sharkies, 20, and those Dragons, 40. I'm going to get to that in just 1 second. The Rabbitohs and the Roosters, the Rabbits too good, 26-14. Right now, though, it's a great pleasure, Wendell, Ryan Girdler, to chat with one of the men who was a destroyer for the Dragons so far this season. Been brilliant last season as well. He's an absolute try-scoring machine. I, of course, talk about Paul Vaughan. Joins us right now. G'day, mate.
Yeah, g'day, boys. Thanks for having me.
Hey, congratulations on another terrific effort last evening. How you feeling?
Yeah, not too bad, mate. Body's a little bit sore after that one. It's always a tough game against the Sharks. But obviously, yeah, good to get a win and score 40 points, which is always a good performance.
You're always confident that you're going to put the ball down over the line yourself. I know a couple of weeks ago, might have been off a little Gareth Widdop kick and you put the ball down, jumped up, a little two fingers disco move, which is brilliant. you've been working on that stuff?
Yeah, Gaz actually gave me a spray after that. He wasn't too happy about that little move, but I was just trying to give him a little bit of recognition for giving me a try. But it was Cam that gave me the ball last night inside 5 metres, so it was a pretty easy one, I think. But yeah, it's always good to get over long.
Mate, what I do like about your team, Vaughan, is, mate, no matter if it's through the middle or on the edges, out wide, mate, you're playing as a confident outfit at the moment. You know, young Duffy at the back, there was a few question marks on him, not from you guys, but, geez, all that hard work's paying off for the team at the moment.
Yeah, Del, I think the boys are just playing for each other. That's the biggest thing that we can get out of our performances at the moment. You know, everyone's just striving to you know, make that tackle from the inside for your mate and, not just trying to let anyone down. So, like you said, Duffy's going really well at the moment. I think he scored 2 tries last night and he's pretty electric to watch. So he's killing it, the young fella.
Yeah, Paul, you're in a similar position last year, you know, round 6. And I think up until round 12, you guys were, you know, leading the competition. What's the difference between, you know, the Dragons of 18 and 17?
I think we addressed a few issues in the preseason. You know, just closing out games that we should have won to teams that we lost below us on the ladder. So I think that's a massive thing that we've worked on, and of course the additions that we've had to the team this year with Benny Hunt, who's an absolute freak, and James Graham, who's an exceptional leader.
And that leadership is obviously important when you go on a bit of a roll, as you guys are, when there's suddenly a lot of people talking about you, you know, you're 6-0, that builds confidence, but that also you have to have the perspective so that you don't get kind of caught up in that. Would that be the case?
Yeah, definitely. You know, Mary, he addresses, you know, the video each week with things that we need to improve on. And I think, I don't think we've had a complete, all-round game at the moment. I think there's still a lot that we need to work on. So, I mean, last night was probably one of our most scrappiest games. I don't think we performed to our best of their ability. So, to win like that and to score 40 points is something that we can, you know, take a lot of confidence out of. But, we've got a lot to build on as well.
When there's a big off-season move like the one we saw with Benny Hunt, and it brings a lot of publicity, and we all sort of know in the media and in general public how much he's getting paid, and it can put a few noses out of joint at the club that he's coming to. So how did Benny and his personality when he came to the club sort of put all that at ease? How did you guys know that he was going to be a quality acquisition and contribute in the way that, you know, a $1 million player can to a club?
Yeah, you know, he's fitted in pretty seamlessly, I think. You know, he's a great down-to-earth bloke and really, really easy to get along with, so that always helps. But, you know, I don't think the boys worry too much about how much, you know, one's getting paid or... because I don't think it's usually ever right. That's what's put out in the media. So, obviously he's doing a great job for the team, and I think he's worth every cent, to be honest. So he's done really well.
Well, speaking about every cent, Origin time, I'm a proud Queenslander, but I said last year that a bloke like you needed to be in that New South Wales team. You're playing well enough. You're hitting the line hard, mate. You're scoring tries. And I see even Jack DeBellin saying that there's got to be more Dragons picked in that squad. Mate, Ewan Aiken's playing some great football. To stand up GI like he did last week and then to back it up last night, playing some really good football around, isn't he?
Yeah, definitely. Ewan's going really well. I think last year he had a few issues with his hamstrings. He's a powerful athlete, so he's pretty hard to stop. And Jackie DeBellin, I thought he might have been ready for Origin last year. He was obviously in that 20-man squad. I think he was 18th man for a couple of games there. But I'll definitely put him in the squad this year. And for myself, I'd love to put my hand up. Last year, I don't think I was ready for it. But, you know, if I get the opportunity this year, I'll obviously take it with both hands and hopefully show what I can do.
Talking about opportunity, I see that there was a statistic came out this morning saying that everyone in the 13 for the Dragons had scored a try so far this year, except for one player. Do you know who that player is?
It wouldn't be Jimmy Graham, would it?
It would be. Yeah. Can you help a brother out?
Surely.
He actually came up to me after the game last night. He goes, "If you score again, you twat."
And that's the beauty. Yeah.
I love it. It looked good in the nude at the end of the year, Big Jimmy, doing the run.
That pale skin would be a little bit too much for me, I think. You know, that red hair.
Well, actually,
yeah, I'm not too sure about that. So hopefully he gets over line sooner rather than later because it'll be ugly silent again.
It's funny seeing Vaughnie down there. Wherever you see Vaughnie, he's got the beautiful skin and he's got the 12-pack. And then even on the golf course, he's wearing the real tight golf shirt, so they love him down there, Vaughnie.
Yeah, I got to go and have a game with you, Joe. You got to teach me a couple of things. My swing's pretty ugly at the moment, so I need a couple.
Sounds like some looser clothing might help the swing, mate.
I did have a hole in one about a month ago. Pardon?
You got to look good on the golf course.
Sure, sure. The derby, it's always willing. Andrew Fifita was huge in that first half. And then there was, of course, the moment he had a bit of an interaction with, I think, Frizz, with Tyson Frizzell. The first two guys come in. It was, I think, your English boys both come in. And the surprise one, Gareth Widdop, he doesn't mind putting his hand in there, does he?
Yeah, I've seen him throw a punch, though. It's not very... it's not the best punch I've seen, but... those Tommy boys are obviously very... you know, they're very passionate as well, and they always, you know, play for each other, play for the team. So it's always good to see those boys, you know, throw their hands up straight away and get into the scuffles because, like I said, they're very passionate.
Any news on the bus? You're not on the bus, are you?
I'd love to be on the bus.
You get on the bus, Vaughnie?
Tonya.
No. Tonya.
I'm not on Tonya. I'm down Shell Harbour way. So, unfortunately, I'm not on the bus, but it's all over social media, so it looks like a fun time, but I want to move up to Sydney to try and get on the bus.
Hey, just quick one, Vaughnie. I know you front rowers, you know, you've got a different bond like the back three. So tell me, what did Cameron McInnes say about his try? He would have loved that, wouldn't he? I didn't know he was that fast.
Yeah, there's an eye. He sort of shocked me there, but obviously a great individual try, and he showed some wheels too. So he's a freak of a player. I think he's a little bit underrated too for what he does for our team. He definitely holds the spine together and gets through nearly 50 plus tackles each week. So he's a freak of a player, and he holds the team together quite well.
Paul Vaughan, lovely to speak to you. Congratulations on the season so far. All the best as you go forward towards Origin and a premiership. There, I've said it.
Oh, yeah. He's bought his grand final tickets, Vaughnie.
I've got him.
He's bought his grand final tickets. No pressure, mate.
Yeah, buddy. Thanks for having me, boys. I appreciate it.
Anytime, mate.
Have a good weekend, buddy.
Go and sunbake that body, mate.
Absolutely. Just some news. Tarek Sims has been charged with a grade one dangerous contact, head neck charge, that is. He won't miss any time, though, with an early guilty plea.
No carryover points,
Tony. No carryover points. Okay. He is good to go, unlike Sammy Burgess.
But if you listen to Paul Vaughan, he seems like a happy person, which he always is, but that's when your team's going well. Mate, you listened to Paul McGregor last night when he was getting interviewed. Like, he didn't expect to be where he was. Now, he knew he had a good side. He's been here before.
It's like this team, happy, apart from the haircut conversation.
Except for Hoops, is, you know, the track.
Gee, we're missing him. Hey, but I'll tell you what, I mean, you talk about the Sammy Burgess issue a couple of weeks ago, but could that be a good thing? I mean, look at South's last two performances without him. You know, he comes back into the side. You know, I mean, it could be the thing that sparks their season.
Terrific. The brothers lifted. In fact, the whole forward pack lifted, didn't they, without
But they've
him.
Got to bottle that, because what happens is once he comes back, they go, look, you've got to know what you've been doing without Sam now. So when he's there, they just go, let's Sam lead and we'll follow. But you can't be like that.
Maybe Sam starts playing for Norse a little bit.
Let's get to that game next. This is Saturday Triple M NRL. All right, let's look at the Tyre Power scoreboard. The Rabbitohs and the Roosters. The Roosters didn't look so special. 26-14, they went down to the Rabbitohs, who we mentioned just a moment ago, without Sam Burgess, but they rolled through that middle third, didn't they?
They were brilliant. They really were. We saw that sort of the week before against the Dragons in that second half. There was just someone, it was like someone lit a fire under their belly. I like the fact that they started the season, the Rabbitohs, I thought they were really, really structured, premeditated, and their attack looked really ordinary.
Yep.
And then they've sort of, in the last couple of weeks, moved away to, you know, doing what South Sydney have done best over the last probably 5 or 6 years, and that's just big, aggressive forwards running hard. They've got a dummy half now, and, I mean, they obviously won that premiership. They had Isaac Luke there, but now they've got another dummy half that every opportunity, when you've got big guys going forward with, you know, lots of momentum, they're just knocking over defenders, well, then those defenders don't get up to mark.
Yep.
So all of a sudden, you've got a fast dummy half, and you give him half an opportunity, and he's through. And that's as simple as it needs to be for South Sydney. Then you've got
Damien Cook made 120-something metres in the first half.
Yeah. And then on the back of Damien Cook and the forwards, then you've got a couple of halves, and you've got one, obviously, Cody Walker at the moment, that's super dangerous. His combination out on that left side with Greg Inglis could be absolutely anything. And GI worked himself into the game as well.
Yep.
Gagai's starting to get some football, and I just love the simplicity of what they're doing and the effect that it's having. I thought they were brilliant the other night.
Especially when they only used 16 players the other night, you know. They didn't use Adam Dewey the other night, so he was a fresh player. But in the first 15, 20 minutes, as you said, mate, the Bunnies set the standard. The Roosters couldn't go with them, and I think Cooper Cronk said that in the post-match interview. But Inglis, you know, he's slowly working into it. There was a run there that he had, and he lost the ball on the left edge, and I just thought, you can just see he's struggling for confidence. And then in the second half, he just takes that screamer above James Tedesco.
And then
he wanted to do the goanna, but all the boys were around him. Look, it was one of those games where I thought the Roosters might have enough to come back in the second half, you know. I think the scoreline flattered them at halftime. But then in that second half, they just found ways, you know, to break the Roosters open.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, the week before, the second half against the Dragons, the Rabbitohs were impressive. It's only Adam Reynolds' second game back as well now, and he's starting to look. Those combinations are going to get better and better. And as we mentioned, the Burgess boys, suddenly, that power that they had shown, certainly in their grand final winning year, it was there, wasn't it, on display?
Well, they're holding the ball. You know, that's a big thing for them, because when you haven't got confidence, sometimes things happen, like, you know, you're losing the ball or people concentrate more. Now that they can see him rolling through, I think there was one run there. Napa tried to go front on, and he knocked him about 10 metres, one of the Burgess boys there, you know. So they're rolling through the middle nicely, getting those quick play of the balls, and Damien Cook, he's having a feast out there.
The Roosters have got to rechange. They've got to rethink the way that they're playing at the moment, Tony. I know they had a convincing win against Newcastle and another convincing win against the Sharks, but on those days, I mean, the Sharks weren't a patch on the side they were last night, last week, and the Roosters rolled through the middle. They got a lot of penalties. It's okay. Like, their premeditated style at the moment, their attack is basically, you know, they're always working to a certain part of the field for the big play.
Yep.
And I've watched them, you know, most times. I know what's coming. The other coaches out there must definitely know what's coming. But the worst part about it is they're keeping the football away from Tedesco, because they've always got a guy that's been so good at playing on the football his whole career, or every first grade team that I've seen, you know, for the Tigers. And all of a sudden you see this guy just waiting in corridors, you know, needing people to get him the football. And they do this same play, goes to Cooper, goes to the line with a lead runner, gives it to Keary, and then they've just got to get rid of it. They've just got to give this Latrell Mitchell. Give this guy the football.
Yes.
Every time he gets it,
how
something
good was
happens.
His put down? That's right.
But they're all worried about, you know, taking defenders and things off him. Good centres just want the ball quickly, yeah? And if you give a guy like him the ball, he's going to make something happen. He doesn't need you to do anything for him. Just give him the bloody ball.
Play
same as Tedesco.
Yeah.
Give him the bloody ball. A couple of other things out of this game I want to get to you about right now. A little bit of music, because that's what Triple M does. Rocks the footy. We've got so much. Have you been watching any Commonwealth games?
Oh, yes, I have, of course. I love watching the sprinting, and I just...
Who won?
Huh? A South African guy won the
Savini.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah.
Which was
he beat the beast. He beat the Dell.
Yeah, he did. So, he beat the man who really should have won it.
Yeah.
But, you know, as we said before, some of the athletes are still somewhere in the Gold Coast hinterland.
Yep.
Which should be interesting as they try to track them down. Mm-hmm. We get plenty to come. We are going to speak with Hoops now. Hoops, as we know, is usually in here. He's actually at the races. We hope we're going to speak to him because it's a buck show. Let's be honest.
Yep.
You will, of course, if you're a Sydney listener, be going to the AFL very shortly. The GWS Giants taking on Freo. But remember, you can download the app, the Triple M NRL app, if you want to listen to us. And why wouldn't you? Sterler will join us very shortly. We've got so much more ahead. Thank you for your company so far, though. Stick around. It's nice to have your company on this Saturday afternoon. Wendell Saylor, Ryan Girdler, how are you going, gentlemen?
Did I change my name then, Wendell Saylor?
Saylor, is he that good?
You named him twice. Absolutely.
Really good, Tone, how are you?
Very, very well, thank you.
Nice to be on the app.
On the app,
yes.
We've got plenty to talk about in the hour and a half we have to share with you, of course, before the kickoff, the Warriors taking on the Broncos. That'll be a great game of footy, Mount Smart Stadium. The Warriors, as we know, so far undefeated through five rounds of rugby league. The Dragons, the only team who are undefeated after six with their win over the Sharkies last night. Right now, though, it's time for this.
Nobody knows if the stock is going to go up.
The Triple M NRL Stock Market.
Yeah, like this. I'm going to throw a few people on the stock market for you two gentlemen just to see. And they're the signings, the super signings over the offseason. We all talked about them. Mm-hmm. So I just want to see in the six rounds or five and a half rounds that we've seen so far, whether these players' stocks have risen, maybe they've stayed exactly the same, or you're selling completely. Obviously, one player who gets his chance this afternoon in the halves, which may change his season around and may help the Broncos as well, is Jack Bird. He's come from the Sharks, big signing for Brisbane. What are you doing there?
Yeah, well, obviously, his stocks were pretty high at the back end of last year when he signed, but they dropped as soon as he got injured. So I don't think they're really high at the moment. So I'd be buying because it's only going to get better, I think, for Jack. He gets an opportunity in the halves today.
Yep.
And I think individually, I don't think Jack, he doesn't necessarily depend on a team for a performance. Jack's one of those guys that on his day, he can go out and make things happen. And I think he'll do that for the Broncos over the next couple of weeks.
Del?
Yeah, look, I'm going to hold. I've coached Jack Bird. I know what sort of player he is. He's had that injury. And then fitting into a culture like the Broncos, he's a big personality. So going up there, obviously there's a lot of things off the field too. You know, you're getting ready. And then even a few of the boys said to me that he was a bit fat pre-season, you know, when you get injured.
They said to you, he's a bit fat.
They said he's put on some weight.
He did look a little bit bulky. And from a man who is slightly on lumpy side himself, I'm quite proud of that.
But he'll cop that. He loves his food, Birdie. But look, mate. I suppose, mate, I'm going to hold, but I reckon over the next 4 to 6 weeks we'll see the best of Jack Bird, only because he'll get fitter, get more confident. And I said before, you've got to throw him into 5'8". He needs to get his hands on the ball more, or even into the back row now that Gillette's injured for a couple of months.
We saw some moments from him from the Roosters in their last game against South Sydney, and then a couple of negative ones as well. Of course, I'm talking about James Tedesco. Teddy, where are you with him, Gerds?
I can't buy him at the moment, Tate.
Really?
I'd have to sell, because and nothing to do with him. I just think that the system that they're trying to make him play, I just spoke about.
Yeah.
My thoughts on the Roosters' attack, does not suit this guy. And until they change that, at a coaching level, I don't think we're going to see the best out of Teddy. So I'd be getting off.
Because it's too rigidly structured.
Oh, he needs to play on the ball, Tony. The only time I saw him do anything really constructive the other night was when he got into dummy half and made a couple of runs, because he was just fed up of, you know, watching everyone else play footy, and he wasn't able to get involved.
Whereas we saw Billy Slater get the ball all the time.
Dufty and these guys, you know, I mean, they're the fullback, Tommy Trbojevic. And it could cost him a representative jumper at the end of the day, because Tommy plays on the ball as good as any, better than most fullbacks in the competition. And Teddy needs to break the shackles, which is obviously something that's really hard to do when you go to a new club, or have a conversation with the attacking coach and the head coach about how do I get into the game, because it's round six, you know, and everyone's saying, oh, it's going to take time. But the way that he plays best doesn't take time. He just needs the footy.
I'm selling. Yeah, I'm with Gerds. Just to watch Tedesco play, he's a bloke I know that was at the West Tigers. You know, he was their best player, so getting the ball. But, yeah, he just sometimes he's pigeonholed on one side, and then he's here. But Cooper Cronk's smart enough to know. He's over Trent Robinson and said, listen, we need to give him free rein. You give him free rein, it's going to help the team. I know that they haven't been laying the foundations, but a guy like Tedesco, I think it will cost him a representative jersey because I'd play Tom Trbojevic as fullback for New South Wales.
All right. Well, you talked about
stop
getting
picking his... our side.
You
talked about players getting...
in it. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I quite like it, the side he's picking, though.
Yeah, thank you.
Players getting used to the new club that they've gone to. Now, I saw an interview today, I think it might have been Dean Ritchie speaking with Aaron Woods, who was actually talking about getting used to wearing the colours. He said even as a kid, all he wore was orange and black. Orange and black, that was his junior teams. Yeah. He's struggling in blue and white. I mean, I'm not sure that can be the biggest excuse for you, but are you buying what's happening with Woodsy at the Bulldogs?
No, not really. I think, you know, Woodsy went there on a big high-profile contract. He's, you know, they're one of their enforcers now. He's just got to go out there and play. You know, when you sign this day and age for a club, I'm holding a Woodsy. Look, I think Woodsy's a good player, but he's just got to go from the front. Use that steel. He's good mates with Clemmer and that. It doesn't matter what jersey you wear. If you're getting paid, your job is to cut that ball up, lay the foundation. So I'm not buying that, but I'm still holding on him.
All right. Yeah, look, I think I don't know what everyone's expecting out of Woodsy. I mean, Woodsy does – I think he's been doing the similar thing for the last couple of years, to be honest. You know, he's not a massive impact player, but he certainly does a mountain of work, and he goes up and he does his offload. So if Canterbury were expecting someone to come in and just push off the back fence and like a Taumalolo or a Frizzell, I mean, they bought the wrong guy. So I think the Bulldogs have pretty much got off Woodsy what I expect them to get, so I don't know what they're after. So for mine, it's, you know, I'm holding Woodsy. I haven't got a problem with the way that he's playing at the moment.
I'm going to jump through a couple of these other ones who probably are as we expect. I mean, Pong has been brilliant, we all know. We've talked about Ben Hunt before. I don't think anybody's selling any of those stocks. Same with James Graham at the Dragons. Another one I guess is more problematic. Well, problematic is probably the wrong word, but at the moment it's interesting to see where the cards fall with Matt Moylan. What are your thoughts?
Well, Matty only is going to get better when he gets settled, when they tell him what position that he's going to play. He went there obviously thinking that he was going to play 5'8", and that's not always the way that it ends up. But he's been pushed to fullback, and I think he needs to go back to the 6. Unless they find a 5'8", unless young Flanagan comes up, you could put him at the back there. But, I think that what suits Cronulla best is playing Matty Moylan at 5'8". And at the back at the moment, he just looks a little bit lost, to be honest.
So you're selling?
Yeah, I'll hold Matty because I think that once he settles,
yep,
we know what he can be, but he just looks frustrated at the moment.
Yeah, I think like the Sharks team, they're frustrated. That's what happens when you buy 3 fullbacks. Yeah, look, I like Matt Moylan. I think he's a quality player. I reckon they've got to put him back to 5'8". I'm going to hold. I like Matty, and I think he'll be good for him long term.
I love that. That's what happens when you buy 3 fullbacks. New South Wales has been playing 3 fullbacks for the past few years in State of Origin. What about that? Okay, we're going away from the players with a coach, an assistant coach. We talked about the Roosters before. Jason Taylor. Jason Taylor. Where are we on Jason Taylor?
Well, he's doing the Roosters attack at the moment, and I've been vocal about it here today. I don't like it. So, you know, I'd be selling Jace because they need to change their ways. They need to come up with a different way to play, I believe, to compete in this competition with the level of, you know, players and athletes that they have at the club. I don't believe their attack's best suited to the way that their team shapes.
Wendell?
Yeah, look, I think I'm going to, you know, I've been very critical of Jason Taylor in the past. Mm-hmm. Look, I think Jason Taylor, I think when he's been, you know, given that how the head role to coach, he probably hasn't had the best results. So I think for Jason Taylor, he's probably a better assistant coach. So I'm selling. I'm not even buying anything to Jason Taylor.
Yes.
And that's not personal either.
Like all merchandise is off the table
that's
as well.
That's not personal. I just think he's a very good assistant coach, and that's probably where he should stay.
All right, going to get you a best of the best next on Saturday Triple M NRL. Saturday Triple M NRL, with Wendell Saylor, Tony Squires and Ryan Girdler with you. James Hooper isn't with us today. He is, of course, at the track.
That's just unbelievable.
Have you ever just said...
I mean, I don't mind a bloke being sick or going away on holiday or having a
going
break.
To Hong Kong or wherever you went last week.
But to just go to the races, which is like 10 kilometres away, is just rude.
I know. Just because Winks is racing Winks today. Apparently she's a big thing.
Yeah. I don't mind Hoops going to the races. What's it for?
Well, I think it might. Well, let's find out because he has actually joined us right here, right now. James Hooper, hello, buddy.
Always good to speak to good people. Yeah. What about you, like, trying to throw me under the bus? You've lost the invite.
What?
I told you last week. You're only on the app anyway. We're not even...
Oh! Hey,
You've lost the invite, so now you're trying to throw me out.
Is that part of your contract, Hoops? Yeah, when we're on the app, you just go to the races.
Nah, it's part of my contract that as long as I give Fuzz at McNamara plenty of notice, which I did, mind you, and I did invite you both.
Yes. I should just point out, though, we all can't go. I mean, we're doing a show. Yeah. What if we're all there?
I can't go. I've had a couple of weeks off, Hoops, so I can't. I couldn't really go.
I understand. Yeah, Wendell, Koo-wee. Oh, is that you? Is it? Hello, Wendell. good to hear you, big unit. How are you going?
Hey, good, mate.
Not just the app, though, Hoops. Right. Of course, the good people of Bundaberg and various other places are listening to us on their radios as well. Now, tell us, why are you at the races and what's going on?
God love them. Tone, you're mad if you're not out here. Randwick's obviously flying at the moment. Wink, she's going for 25 straight. We haven't seen too many racehorses like her. Black Caviar was the most recent. But look, it's just a special horse. And, yeah, it's pretty electric out here today, Tone. And I've only had about 1.5 James Bogues. I spoke to Gerdes last night. Mm-hmm. And he said to me, listen, mate, I think you need to get a run under your belt. He said, just go out, run quick time tonight. I don't want you going in dry off no prep. So we had a little light barrier trial last night, Tone. And, yeah, we're seeing things okay at the moment.
Very, very good. All right, well, I've already expressed today that I'm concerned about Winx. I think this is the day. This is the day that Winx gets beaten. I know everybody hates that idea. I know she's Australia's friend, Australia's horse, and trying to get that 25 mark, that magical mark. But this is a good field, isn't it?
And that fills me with confidence. I've been saying it for a very long time. Not a lot of people want to listen. You are a very bad judge. But mate, I'm actually going to go and have another 1,000 on now. If you're writing her off, then I'm declaring her. Look, no, you're right. On a serious note, it is a good field, mate. Humidor's in the field, and there's some other crack Group 1 horses. So, look, it's going to be hard for her, but as we've seen, boys, over the course of the last few years, she's an absolutely special horse. She finds a way to win. You go back to that race about 6 months ago where Foxplay had her beaten All Ends Up. To flow out of the gates and looked as though she was going to get rolled, and somehow she found a way to win on the line. So yeah, I think she'll salute today and add a few more millions for the kitty.
Hoops, just one of my favourite things. Any celebrities out there? I love celebrity spotting. Any A-listers?
Mate, there's A-listers everywhere. The Dual International, he'd be like silk out here. He'd just be rubbing shoulders all over town. John Sutton's just walked past me. He's the A-list.
Yeah,
he's one of the Bunnies champions. Led the red and green to a premiership not that long ago. So he's just walked past. Roy Billing, the actor, I actually bumped him a little bit earlier. Bobby Trimboli from Underbelly, champion bloke, pretty funny fella. Brian Brown, he walked past not that long ago. So, mate, I'm just waiting. Are you blokes coming or what?
So we're talking about real A-listers. There's another guy that should be out there today. I spoke to him this morning, the Cooler. I told him you were going out there and asked him if he had any mail. And as we all know, the Cooler, well, he likes to kick with both feet, Hoops, and he's a big fan of yours. And he gave me a tip today. He said race nine, number two.
Fox play.
Well, he said every time he sees your head on Fox, he likes to, you know what. So have a little bit of something on Fox play, and that's from the Cooler.
What are you suggesting, Ryan, that the Cooler peels the top off or something? I'll tell you something about the Cooler. I bumped him last week in between race meets, and he told me that he'd been doing a bit of secret preparation, training with Craig Gower, Chris Hicks, these sort of people. So
really?
I know that they like to keep things on a very tight leash and an even keel.
Yeah.
And the Cooler, he can, when the whips start to crack, he'll be there.
I wish you could do just one more racing cliche. That was brilliant. Hoops, lovely to talk to you. Enjoy your afternoon, and we'll see you here next week, buddy.
See you, Hoops.
Always a pleasure, boys.
Have a good day.
Legend.
Look forward to seeing you next week, mate.
James Hooper there.
He's having a good time. Good on him.
Yeah, absolutely. Saturday Triple M NRL. Right now, though, it's time for this.
On Triple M NRL, the best of the best.
And we do it for Mongrel Boots, the best of the best. Just trying to find out what you gentlemen think is the peak of a particular category. Today I've gone for, sort of off the back of, and we might chat about a little bit later, Matt Gillett from the Broncos, and won't be there for this round and beyond after realising he had a bad neck injury. He's been playing with it since round one, I think, against Dragons. He did it. Tough, tough man. So I thought, tough nuts. You guys must have played with, against, or seen guys who you basically just couldn't hurt. They'd get up and away they'd go again. So the best of the best tough nuts. Wendell?
Yeah. Well, look, I think for me, it's not so much the biggest. It's a guy, even, he could be the smallest in the field to do what they do. a guy called Jeff Toovey. You know, and even when Adam McDougall, the low Adam McDougall, kicked him in the face, as Doug does, he does that cheap stuff and kicked him in the face. He still played on, mate, you know, with, you know, six studs in his head, Jeff Toovey.
What, the studs stayed in his head?
No, but he had the imprint there, like, you
right,
know.
Okay.
So, but Jeff Toovey, pound for pound, puts his body in front, obviously played hooker in the halves. Mate, wherever you put him, mate, you just couldn't hurt him.
Let's have a listen to Jeff Toovey.
Oh, come on. Come on, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. There's got to be an investigation into this. This has got to be, someone's got to be accountable for this.
Even his coaching was tough.
I miss those press conferences from Toovey.
We do.
They were always entertaining.
I agree, mate. Mad Dogs should be investigated, you know. They let him get away with that.
You got any others? Well, here's the man.
Oh, yeah. Look, I think for me, David Gillespie.
Yeah.
Yeah, yep. You know, he was a bloke that, he was the original, one of the original tough men. And then I've got to say, I hate to say it, but I'll say it, Gordon Tallis.
Yes.
When I first played against him, I played North Queensland and Townsville and Mackay played against one another. We'd always play before him.
Mm-hmm.
And then Gordon would be like, you know, he was always a raging bull. He was never that big and strong when he was growing up, but he was just, there was something not right up top there, you know? And then when I played first grade against him, mate, he's a lunatic. And but Gordon Tallis, mate.
Yeah, look, he was like the kid who at the party who drank too much red drink and believes he can run through walls.
Oh, and then no doubt he could. Let me tell you, mate, when the chips were down, we needed something special. You can have your Shane Webkes and your Petro 7 deceivers, but, mate, Gordon Tallis is my man to follow.
Good.
Well, let's start with the great man, Tommy Raudonikis.
The scrum sort of packed down and Steve Menzies just put his head up and he said, oh, no, not the dreaded cattle. Poor old Steve Menzies couldn't crush a grape.
Well, there's been a million stories about Tommy, but yeah, he certainly took. He was tough as a player. He was also pretty tough as a coach.
Yeah.
So
when he came off for New South Wales, I think he might have been in reserve. Somebody else got Steve Mortimer might have been picked, and he came on as New South Wales were getting beaten. He grabbed Greg Oliphant, dragged him over the sideline, and just absolutely crucified him.
I think when he was rooming with Steve Mortimer, didn't he go in and they were rooming in the same room, and he pulled him off the double bed and he took him off the double bed and then threw his bags out the window. I got another one. What about Chris Mortimer? Louis Mortimer from the Panthers. When I first got there in the early 90s, there was a story going around that I think it was before the 89 final series, he'd had a pin inserted into his thumb.
Mm-hmm.
And they were coming into a semi-final and they were down on a few troops and he went up to the doctor and said, oh, well, we're low on numbers, so it looks like I'm going to have to make my comeback a little bit early. And the doctor said, well, you still got a pin in your thumb. So apparently went out to the boot of his car, got out a pair of pliers.
No.
Pulled the pin out with the pliers, strapped it up and played that weekend.
Wow.
And an honourable mention, I think, modern day gladiator, Sammy Burgess. I don't think just of the fact that, you know, he plays with injury, but he just plays tough. He plays under a lot of fatigue, and whenever South needs something from their forward leader, he just finds a way to get it done. And there's a tough side of Sam.
What about you,
Tom? Well, an honourable mention as well, and you said before, it doesn't have to be the big blokes, does it, to do it? And Tommy Raudonikis is, again, another small bloke. But it's not so much that this guy gets up and, you know, swings punches or anything like that, but he takes hit after hit after hit. There's been a bit of discussion about, has he gone 1 year too long? No. His name is Jonathan Thurston.
Yeah. We're going to miss that laugh.
We're going to miss. Not for a while, I don't think. Certainly not this year. There you go. There is your best of the best, thanks to Mongrel Boots, built for pure comfort. That's what a Mongrel Boot is. Saturday, Triple M, NRL. Sterlo joins us in the next hour.